every once in a while, Mr. Babbage, we just have to we have to put all of our theories that we talk about, you know, all of our strategy, all the player takes, we have to put them into practice. And this is one of those nights. We are doing a Dynasty mock draft. The lobby is full. Matt, do you want to tell people the settings of this mock draft? It's pretty standard.
We got super flex, PPR, tight end premium. So nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing too out of the ordinary there. We got the tight end premium throwing a loop in there. We also have a third round reversal. And based on, especially in Dynasty, based on wins above replacement, that's typically a setting that I think makes a startup draft more fair. And additionally, it offers a lot more flexibility too for the 12 spot, having that 3-1 in your holster, as opposed to the other teams having obviously much higher value first and second round picks than you. So it's a good way to even things out. And overall, it's also, in addition to everything you said about why we're having a startup mock tonight, we get to stress test the rankings we've been talking about on our channel. If you haven't seen any of those videos, hit the channel, go find them. Great episodes. And in all four of them, we all had players where we immediately after discussing were, I'm too low on this guy, I'm too high here. And now is the time where the rubber meets the road and we have to make choices. They're not as stressful or meaningful as a real draft, but it's as close as we can get.
And that's part of why, not to talk about this too much, because we have a room full of people who are waiting to draft. But that's why this show is called the Dynasty Roundtable, is because we bring our takes to the table. We share those opinions, and sometimes, I know, shocker, this might come as a surprise to some people, sometimes we're able to have a rational discussion, and in the case, throughout that conversation, we might change the other person's mind. We might, you know, just from talking it out rationally, we might impart some wisdom on the other person, and we might persuade them, you know, to get off of a player, to buy a player, to move somebody up the rankings, to lower somebody down the rankings. And that's what's great about this show, man. That's why I love doing this so much. I mean, conversations like this. I mean, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be doing a job where I was thinking about this all the time. When I was teaching, I was thinking of dynasty trades way too often and dynasty strategy. So now, you know, now we just talk about it. So yes, for all those reasons and more. And it's 6:59. So I think we can start this thing, can't we?
I think we can start 30 seconds early. I don't think the people are going to object to that. Cody's right. Online. Looks like he's ready to go.
Oh, crap.
I'm going
to have to edit this post.
Wow, podcast audience, Seth just had an epic fail in getting the screen right.
We're gonna cut all this, so it's fine. All right, so here we are. Let's see, can I zoom in? Yeah, the podcast audience is all right. They've gone. They're out. So like Matt said, all the settings, 12 team league. I'm just going to start this thing up. Any final thoughts before we get going?
I'll start talking about our strategy on where we selected our draft position. So normally in a bunch of the previous mocks that we've done, I have gone towards the back end. I do gravitate towards more of a value first startup. And especially in third round reversal, I really love the flexibility and ability to just kind of gather value that the back end of the draft gives you. But I'm flipping that on its head, and I chose to go 1-3 and go early draft in a super flex league. We just went over our QB rankings in one of our last videos. And here I have my tier one of quarterbacks, my top three, and I'm just going to let the board fall to me. And take whichever one is available here. So Cody Carpentier on the clock. He's got the little green dot next to his name, so I know he's there. 15 seconds, 14 seconds. He's wondering if he has the balls to take Jaden Daniels 101. I think he does. Or maybe he just misses his pick.
Cody's always good for a surprise. So we'll see. Oh, Lamar. He had Lamar in the queue.
Yeah, Lamar in the queue.
Lamar at 101. Your thoughts?
Hey, as somebody who had Lamar Jackson over Jaden Daniels in our rankings, I feel slightly vindicated here. But that's the reason why I picked 1-3, because I did not have enough huevos to come back on this podcast and make that same decision again. So I took the coward's way out and took the 1-3 so that I didn't have to make that choice.
Fair enough. I mean, the first step to solving anything is admitting that there's a problem. So
I see. And yeah. That's the thing. It's not courageous. No, it's not a problem, because I feel like I made the right decision.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. We might have two timeouts at the start.
I know. Look, anyway.
Look at everybody at the back. Everybody at the back end is ready to go.
I knew as soon as I said that he was going to have Jaden Daniels in the queue. That's fine. I'll take Josh Allen.
Wow. Happily. Josh Allen at the
103.
That feels like stealing.
But that's the thing is, that's what I love about that position and why I took it is it didn't matter which of those quarterbacks fell to me. I felt like I won. It didn't matter if I got the 103 by ADP and Lamar Jackson at the 103. It just feels like a victory to have one of these three guys in a super flex league.
Oh, yeah. And that's why the third round reversal is a must, in my opinion. And I know some people are going to disagree with me in the chat, but it's such an advantage to have to be able to roll out a Josh Allen, a Jaden Daniels every week, somebody with 30 plus point upside. It's such an advantage. And in terms of value, forget about it. You can't acquire Josh Allen without giving up half your roster. I mean, that's how valuable that piece is. So yeah, that was a no-brainer pick for you, in my humble opinion.
So while we wait for these next sets of picks to come in, this is my friend Nate, and he said he was doing some things and he might miss the first few rounds, so I wouldn't be surprised if he autos here.
Okay,
but talk a little bit about why 108 was a little bit random, or is that a spot you like to try and position yourself in towards the back end of the draft?
It was a little bit of both. It was, you know, in these mocks, you want to try out some strategies. And that is one of the trickier places, I think, because you miss out on the elite tier of quarterbacks. You aren't necessarily at the end, so you don't get the benefit. You do benefit from the third round reversal, but you're not at the 112, you know. So I think it's one of the more challenging spots to draft from. And honestly, when we're trying to fill these drafts, I tend to take a spot that nobody really wants. So that's part of it too. But it's also, I have an idea in mind. There's a player that I'll talk about if I pick him, that's risen up my rankings and that I want to see as Joe Burrow comes off the board. This might be the latest Jalen Hurts has ever fallen this year in a startup draft. We'll see what Jonathan does. Shout out to Fourth and Lang, multiple time alum of the Dynasty Roundtable podcast. Oh, Matt is muted.
Dang. Despite being 7.6 in ADP and QB4 in AD or QB5 in ADP, you think 1-7 is like shockingly low for Jalen Hurts here in a super flex?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because there's no way, in my opinion. Oh my God. And you get
Jalen Hurts.
I get Jalen Hurts. This is a super flex, everybody, just so you know. I was not planning on this
for Jefferson and Chase.
I was planning on Malik Nabers, but I can't pass up Jalen Hurts here.
Yeah, I was gonna talk to you about that, by the way. It's gonna be hard to allude to players and not talk about who they are when they're in your queue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good
one. You're like, there's this one player that's risen up above my rankings. I'm like, yeah, it's probably the guy you probably the guy you put in your queue before the draft even started.
I'm an idiot. All right. I have another I even have another tab up as Z Willard gets Malik Nabers. So if this minute long, it should go a little bit quicker because we have some autos now. Some people who couldn't be here, but the minute long clock didn't really wasn't too bad last time. So we'll see how it goes. I can always shorten it to 30 seconds a little bit later. I just wanted to give people some time to really think about their first few picks here.
I'm excited to redeem myself from the last. I was scrambling that last mock draft, and I feel like I've come to the table much more prepared to talk and draft at the same time. I love where your head's at with the queue there, because I was actually just about to talk about Patrick Mahomes and the fact that he's not going to be. All right. Ed DeLauder, another alum of the Dynasty Roundtable podcast. Shout out to Ed. Goes in and takes Mahomes and Puka, which I think is a great start there from the turn. That's a really sexy start. But Mahomes almost not being a first round Dynasty startup pick, super flex. In the year of 2025, I mean, can you imagine saying that 2 years ago? I don't think people would have taken you seriously.
Yeah, I know. This is crazy. I'm trying to figure out. I'm sorry. I'm a bit distracted here. I thought it was this one. So if I add this to my queue, does it show up?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if I go to this other tab, as I'm on the clock here, will it show up?
Yeah, because you're adding him to your queue. It doesn't matter what tab you're in.
All right, wise ass.
Sorry.
Brian Thomas Jr. is my pick here. There we go.
And that's a phenomenal start.
I thought I did this. I'm an idiot. I set this up one time where I could, you know, I could have my queue open on another tab. Maybe I got to have another window open. Maybe that's it. Anyway, because I'm on the StreamYard thing now, and it's not showing that. It's not like the multi-screen. Let's see.
A nice RB. If you're going to do RB to start a draft, Bijan and Genty is probably the way to do it. Interesting start from Slugs. I like that he's taking this approach because it's not something you see a lot, especially in Superflex. Not going Hurts there was the interesting one.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for Genty to come back to me. I wouldn't have expected it, but.
So.
Got Jonathan Lang up here, Saquon, and then we got auto pick Drake London and Bo Nix. So I'll talk for a little bit while we kind of catch up here in the last two rounds, or the last couple of picks. Saquon at the 2.7. How do we feel about that price where he's at in his age range?
I don't like it, to be honest. I know some people will vehemently disagree with the take, but the history would tell us, especially over the last 5 years, that when a running back has that kind of workload, it typically doesn't go well for them the next season. Now, Jonathan's clearly betting on Saquon to do exactly what he did last year. The problem is he's going to be 29 years old. So from a value standpoint, I view Barkley as being near the top of his value. And I don't think he's going to maintain that value, because I think he's probably going to finish closer to RB10 or 15 than RB5 or 4 or even RB1. Just because those are the historical trends. So what are your thoughts? Are you in line with me, or do you disagree?
I'm in line with you. And I think it's probably a little bit due to PTSD, where I've tried some riskier, shorter term builds where I'll try to, you know, I'll say I'll get a Chase and then a Barkley. I try to win now, but I have flexibility. And I've tried that build a few times and it's blown up in my face. And it makes a rebuild, if you screw it up, so hard, because you are constantly in the middle and wondering, do I sell? Do I buy? And it's just this constant cycle where you eventually just have to tear it down, more than likely have to tear it down. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think I've just learned to be a little less risk averse in the early rounds of the startup draft, because of where I've gone wrong in other years. The other big thing that has happened, Cody Carpentier towards the end of the second round at the 212, Marvin Harrison Jr. over the likes of Ladd McConkey, Omarion Hampton, Garrett Wilson. How do we feel about Marvin Harrison Jr. that high?
You know, I don't hate it. I have Marvin Harrison as my player 32. So he took him as, I'm going to get one of my quarterbacks here. I'm usually not a quarterback early guy. I got to take
this.
Justin
is a great
Herbert.
Start for you. This is incredible.
Oh, I know. The eighth spot has never been so good for me. Getting Jalen Hurts. Justin Herbert, by the way, is my 10th overall player in a super flex league. And Brian Thomas Jr. is my 14th player. So you could argue I should have taken Herbert over in the second round. But nevertheless, I probably would have gone in a different direction. But I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is one of those rare wide receivers that has top 10, if not top 5 upside at his age. And I don't think in a lot of startups Marvin Harrison is going at the 212. I think he maybe, I don't know if he could have waited to the 312, but I think somewhere in this range where we're at right now is probably where Marvin Harrison is going. So Cody probably realized Marvin Harrison wasn't coming back to him, so just go get your guy, which I don't hate that. But again,
well,
it's probably not the direction.
What's stopping
Marvin
Harrison
in?
Jr. from getting right back up into that conversation?
I mean, the argument would be the offense hasn't changed at all. I mean, it's still Kyler Murray. It's still Drew Petzig. I mean, maybe they see the error of their ways. I mean, they better see the error of their ways. Otherwise, are we looking at, you know, a Kyle Pitts, Drake London early on situation? You know, where we have to figure out this player that we took in the top 5, you know, like it's ridiculous in a sense. Like you take a receiver that high and then you use them the way they used them last year. It's malpractice. And you would think that there should be some consequences for that, but apparently not in Arizona. So we'll see how it plays out. But I do think that it's still a good bet to make, because I do think Marvin Harrison is one of these players that's going to hold his value really well. Like even if he has a subpar performance this year, or I still think people will buy into the draft capital on the upside, and he's still going to be young. So I do, from a value standpoint, I like it, but not as much as some other picks he could have made at that pick. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I shout out to Nate for taking Travis Hunter with the 3-8. I was gonna take him there at the 3-10 and make a splash, but didn't get the chance to do so. I'll happily take Omarion Hampton at the 3-10 there, but we're approaching here the back end of the third round. It's gonna be a pivotal pick here for me, because I do not know what I want to do here in the fourth round. There's an infinite world of options. I could go with another quarterback that I think is properly valued here. I came into the draft thinking that I wanted to go early quarterback and then wait towards the mid to late rounds and grab a couple of value quarterbacks. And I think I still might end up doing that. I think there's a risky running back here that I'm considering in Breece Hall. I think there's a lot to love there. There's also a go get my guy situation.
Rashee Rice. Have you seen his best ball? ADP is climbing through the roof. Yeah. Maybe some people were on that a few months ago.
maybe back like before the Super Bowl even happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a situation where normally when I'm drafting and talking, I don't take that extra second and think to myself, oh, I'll take Rice here. Because I was going flip-flopping between Breece Hall and Brock Purdy. And ended up going Rice. I think I'm very happy with that in terms of positional value, getting my first wide receiver, getting somebody who I can think of as a little bit of a production cornerstone in my group. And I think there's still plenty of value out there at quarterback, as we discussed in our rankings episode.
Yeah, and just judging from who's on the board here, so now I'm on the clock. I've finally gotten my technical issues sorted out. And man,
I think Purdy being on the board here is fucking nuts. I'll tell you
I swear to God, that's who's next up in my rankings is Brock Purdy. And yeah, I'm not really seeing anybody. I think I kind of wish I would have waited on quarterback maybe a little bit, but getting just my quarterback room is set from a value perspective.
You'll figure out a way to trade. Like, good dynasty managers figure out ways to trade. Yeah, like for the same reason in last year's rookie drafts, you didn't think about what your quarterback room was. You didn't take need into account when Bo Nix was at the back end of the first or in the early second round, or when Michael Penix was in the early second round to the mid second round. You didn't think about what your quarterback room was. At least I hope you didn't, because those who had large, like good quarterback rooms like myself and still just took it. I mean, there's no better way to position yourself in Superflex than having the most dominant quarterback room. There's a period, I'm in a team where I'm trying to rebuild, and I had Hurts, Purdy, and Mayfield in a Superflex league. You're getting offers every week. You can't not get a deal done. Baker then going to follow up. I bet Z Willard was upset that Purdy got sniped. I'm sure seeing him on the board with Hurts and Herbert and May and Stroud in between him and Purdy, and then not getting him is really tough there. But do you think I should have went Rice or Purdy?
I would have gone Purdy, just because I mean there is a world, as much as we might not want to admit it, where Rice fails. But Purdy is basically a locked in starter with a great play caller for the next 4 years. So, and Trevor Lawrence there at the 412 is pretty crazy too. I'm kind of regretting. I mean, I couldn't pass up the players that I took. So I'm just taking the value that's falling to me, which is exactly what I would tell anybody else to do. But I'm just saying right now, there's some quarterbacks still on the board that I think shouldn't be here right now. But that's just my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go Purdy, but I still can't help but really like what my outlook can be.
Yeah.
Continuing here. I do think just based on pure value, that was probably the play. But at this point, I'm so emotionally invested in the Rashee Rice value explosion that I just can't help myself anymore. And then McCarthy and Ward go bang, bang. So that's they were much needed to go off the board there as well.
Yeah. This next pick for me is going to be interesting. Is where this is the first mock draft that I. So he goes Derrick Henry.
So for the podcast, I mean, am I audience, insane? Well, what? Go ahead.
Am I insane for? I mean, Breece Hall is still available.
Yeah, I mean, it's Breece a smash Hall pick. Just gonna I can't fall believe you. The... I can't believe you haven't clicked draft yet.
I'm just wondering, like, is.
I was considering.
I know there's been some coach speaks. I know there's been some coach speak stuff, but
I don't care about.
Like, he's still 24. He's 24 years old, And we think this offense with Justin Fields is going to be at least serviceable. And I know Braylon out and Breece Hall. I think that was the way it had to go.
Oh, Lord, and everything falls apart in an instant. In an instant, everything falls apart. And that's what happens is like quarterback was a value, and then all of a sudden everyone without a quarterback freaked out.
Yeah, well, they heard me talking even though they can't because this is not live. I mean, these quarterback values are absurd, though, in my opinion. Like, Dak Prescott there in the fifth round is... I know, I get it.
Dak at 5'7", is way over ADP.
Is he over ADP?
Oh, yeah.
At 5'7"?
Wow. Under ADP. Under ADP.
Okay.
He's like player 75. Or at least per sleeper.
Well, he's one of the biggest buys in Dynasty right now.
Well, that I agree with, but.
So let's go to the startup ADP.
You go to Superflex Dynasty rankings, you're going to see a lot of people. This is basically following
Prescott,
kind of ADP, a lot of these mid to late round guys.
Dak Prescott is going as quarterback 21 right now. Behind Michael Penix, right next to Bryce Young. That's preposterous.
What I meant to say, but couldn't because I was babbling, is like Mayfield, Lawrence, McCarthy, Ward, Goff, Prescott, like, are all pretty close to ADP, if not drafted before ADP.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy, man. Like, I was doing because I'm going through my redraft rankings now, and I was looking at the Cowboys offense, and that defense was second worst in the NFL in points allowed per game. And you look at what they've done with their defense, and I'm sorry, the defense is going to be bad again. They threw the ball a ton in both seasons when Brian Schottenheimer was offensive coordinator. And now they add George Pickens to the mix, and they have Javonte Williams leading the backfield. I'm sorry. They're going to throw the ball a ton. They have to, right?
They do. I screwed up.
What'd you screw up?
I meant to click Kenneth Walker, and I clicked RJ Harvey.
Oh, we can change that right now if you want. You can click him now. Unless you don't want to take three running backs.
Not really. That's not really where I was.
All right. Okay. Well, I do have some power here.
No, it's okay.
No, it's okay.
This happens. Well,
You had a whole minute. There's no excuses, Mr. Babich.
I'm trying to do a fucking podcast, man.
Well, that's our disadvantage here. That's the life we signed up for.
This is why slow drafts always win out in my mind. I'm going to take him a little before ADP here, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
Can't really risk another run on quarterbacks happening. I intentionally didn't go quarterback at 5'10 because I kind of wanted to see if Penix went. And then he did, obviously. So I'm good with taking Bryce Young there. Did mean to go Kenneth Walker, but I love RJ Harvey. So there's definitely a world where that choice ends up being a good one. I don't think it's super likely because we've talked about how much we love the prospect of Kenneth Walker and that Kubiak system. And that's why I wanted to draft him. But instead, I have a very young build. Weirdly, at the 1-3, I feel like in this spot, I might have been even open to selling the 6-3 if I could have traded it for a future pick, especially after taking Harvey.
Ooh, that was the next person in my queue. Fields goes off the board. What do you make of Fields?
I'm just fully avoiding.
That's interesting because nobody else is, you know, like I'm not saying I disagree with you, but gosh, let's see.
It just feels like we're gonna get the Fell Forward Again award. Like maybe Justin Fields in New York could be something. And it's like, he's not that good. If only we could have known this.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
This is what his ADP in Pittsburgh would have been if Russell Wilson wasn't there, is the thing. It's the lack of having anybody else in the building more than Justin himself.
Mm-hmm.
I like that pick there in Caleb Johnson.
Thank you. I like him in Pittsburgh quite a bit. But yeah, I think the Justin Fields thing is interesting because I think it's true. But I think both parties can be true. Like both sides of the argument can make some good points. It is a good point to make that he is awesome as a fantasy asset, but it's also true that he's not a good NFL quarterback. And these people who are out there going, oh my God, Justin Fields is tearing up the OTAs, man. Look at him in shorts, throwing passes on air. That's ridiculous. So you have to be careful about the news cycle this time of year. But while it lasts, it's going to be really fun. But I can't, and we've talked about it, Tyrod Taylor is the backup there. I don't think Tyrod Taylor's much of a threat to him. He's really going to have to F up in order for Tyrod Taylor to take over, I think. But if this team is in the playoffs and Justin Fields is playing like shit, which is very possible, or if they're pushing for the playoffs rather, and he's playing like shit, then you don't think a hard-nosed coach like Aaron Glenn is going to make a change, you know? Like, it's everything's going to be on the table then. So I'm just saying, and we also have the injury risk as well. I've seen Justin Fields hold on to the ball forever and take unnecessary sacks and get hurt more times than I would like to admit.
Yep.
So I just don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he's not a long-term asset in Dynasty, and even anybody taking him in redraft, I think it's risky. It's going to be nice while it lasts, but he's probably going to be given a long, long leash, and it could work out, but I still think it's a risk. So we will recap this draft for our podcast audience, I promise, at the end here. And then I will probably move to a 30-second clock here after, because how are we doing on time? Okay, 30 minutes. It's not bad. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So like we're 7 rounds in, you know, like my last pick was Caleb Johnson. Then we have George Pickens, Devonta Smith, George Kittle, DJ Moore, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, DK Metcalf. That's interesting. All right. This is interesting. I have some guys that I like in my queue, potentially.
Yeah, we're in the 7th round, you know. We're at the point where you would think that you would like every pick still, but these are the rounds where it's very easy to get to your pick and be like, I don't really love the value that's here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. And am I crazy? Because the next person, and I'm just going to make sure, I'm not going to say it, I'm just going to confirm he's still available. Okay, no, he's not. Okay, never mind.
That was almost cool.
trying to catch up with my queue and whatnot. I have a guy queued up, and it's a tight end, and it's one of my... So the next person up in my rankings would be Jordan Addison, but yes, TJ Hawkins. Can you see it?
No, I just know. I didn't. As soon as you say like one of my favorite players is a tight end, like I know you. We talk about our football takes like twice a week together all the time. So I just knew that was going to be Hawkinson.
Now, I'm a little thin at wide receiver. My only wide receiver to this point is Brian Thomas Jr. That's not ideal. But we'll see if we can make it work.
Walker ends up going. So I could have gotten Kenneth Walker. I almost could have gotten him again if I really wanted to. Sweet. I will very happily, as I scan my rankings and the availabilities again, just to make sure, take Jalen Waddle. I feel like I got some good value.
Oh,
there.
That's an amazing pick. And I know people are out. Some people are just done with him, but I'm just asking you a question. All right. Cause I do think that this is very possible this year. What if Tyreek Hill's not good? Or what if Tyreek Hill's hurt? Who else do they have, Matt? Who else do they have?
They have Jonnu Smith.
Yes, that's true.
And that is
Malik Washington.
That is about it.
Yeah. So my question would be, what's the downside to taking him in the seventh round, in the late seventh round of a startup? I mean, I love that.
No,
I like him in redraft, to be honest.
I like him in redraft too. I mean, we're looking at a guy who really kind of struggled to stay healthy across some seasons. And while it only kind of showed up in game logs, only a couple of missed games a season, but these are these nagging injuries that continue to hinder him. And it's really one bad season that we're talking about. Wide receiver 15, wide receiver 12, wide receiver 21 in fantasy points per game. And the wide receiver 21 really was a lack of touchdowns. When you look at 2023 as expected fantasy points per game, it was 27th. That didn't turn out the way I wanted it to necessarily, but he was expected to gain 15.3 and he only gained 14.2. So he was expected to gain a little bit more fantasy points in that production as well, which is on par, that 15.3 on par with his rookie season and his 2022 season. So we look at that as an outlier. And because, again, I'm telling you, Seth, there's got to be something cognitive about people who don't score touchdowns. Waddle has a 4-touchdown season, not super memorable. Next season, struggling with injuries. All of a sudden, to the masses, it feels like 2 seasons where he hasn't been there. I genuinely think that has something to do with it, because it just doesn't. I can't otherwise explain why so many people are so far out on Jalen Waddle after 1 bad season out of 4 in his career, and all those things about Tyreek Hill that you mentioned. I'm gonna do something here, Seth, and
okay,
I might be crazy, I might be stupid, but this was sort of what I was looking at with the quarterbacks, and given I just took Waddle, here's what I'm looking at with my team. I see something that I might have to abandon, and maybe a little bit longer of a term. Now, if all the guy can do is just not get some more head injuries, I might be able to get the best of both worlds, because Tua is not that old. He's 27 years old. Mm-hmm. And again, the health is a big risk. But with the, I know the RJ Harvey pick kind of looks like a sore thumb sticking out there. I still have a lot of conviction in where I have RJ Harvey ranked. I think it would look a lot better as a shorter term competitor with Kenneth Walker there. I think you agree. But in my head, I have Kenneth Walker there at 5'10". And I really like the look of this team, especially what it could do short term. And I think Tua is a nice complement to Bryce Young and obviously my power quarterback 1 in Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, that's well done by you, I think, salvaging. I mean, you waited a little bit on quarterback. I think Bryce Young has a lot of upside this year with Dave Canales. I think Tua is, as Jerry Jeudy comes off the board, getting Tua in the 8th round, I think, is really nice. Now, man, I don't, and I heard today that he might be, or he is going to be out until, let me just confirm this, until Thanksgiving. Which I suppose
unideal.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but I think none of the San Francisco wide receivers have been taken.
I was really hoping he was going to like slide. Damn.
I mean, I get it. I'm drafting an injured player, but if he were fully healthy, wouldn't he be going at least much three higher. Rounds ahead of where he's going right now?
I don't know about three rounds. I think he would go ahead of Pickens. Like, I think you would have been having to choose him at 6'8".
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think he'd be above Odunze and Igbuka, but I think that would be where the conversation is.
That's fair. And it was between him and, you know, some of these other rookie wide receivers, but I just, you know, and as I was scrolling down, and you know, sleepers ADP is always tricky. You just never know what kind of surprises you might be in for. And there was another player too that could be gaining a ton of value here soon that we will talk about, and hopefully I'm not giving it away.
Was it Jaden Higgins?
I keep thinking people are watching us right now. Nobody's watching us. I don't know what my problem is.
I know there we don't have the need for any table talk. Like but even then I still can't. I don't want to talk about people who I want to draft before I draft, because I have that superstition that if I say it out loud, it's gonna get taken. It's why I didn't want to talk, and it makes for bad content, which is why I gotta stop doing it, because I didn't want to talk about Brandon Ayuk sliding so far, because I didn't want you to take him.
Exactly.
I like Pearsall going a couple of picks later. The bullet was finally bit on Tyreek Hill at 8-10. Z Willard is going true zero RB. His roster top to bottom is Malik Nabers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Devonta Smith, DK Metcalf, and Tyreek Hill in a PPR league with you start two running backs, two receivers, and then there's four flexes and then the super flex. Not a bad way to construct a lineup, in my opinion. I like what Cody did as well. He went very young and tight end heavy, receiver heavy, Lamar Jackson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Tet McMillan, Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, and back to back tight end picks, Michael Penix, then David Montgomery and Joe Mixon went bam, bam, old veteran. Guess who could compete this year if he gets a stroke of luck with Tet McMillan and the usage of Warren and Loveland early? Cody. And then at the 7-12, 8-1, not huge investments. He can obviously dump to a competitive team that needs running backs. Lord knows we got enough teams in this draft that decided to abandon running back. It's interesting looking at this draft board. You go from Cody to Slugs, and it's like a bunch of green and then no green as you go to the back end of the draft. Swift, we have a running back for Z Willard. I love, and that's the thing, is he takes a really good running back value right now.
Yeah. I mean, I've done my Chicago Bears projection, and it's very favorable for DeAndre Swift. And it's not because I'm a huge believer in DeAndre Swift, but it's because who else is going to get the carries? You know, is it going to be Roshan, who averaged like 2 yards a carry last year? Is it going to be a seventh round rookie? Is it going to be Travis Homer? I don't know. You know, I think Swift is going to have a big part to play in this. And I think an interesting season for anybody to go look back on is the 2022 Detroit Lions, because that was the first year Ben Johnson was calling plays for the Lions. And he just so happened to have a running back named DeAndre Swift on his roster. And you know how he used him, Matt Babich? He used him primarily as a pass catcher, and he used a running back named Jamal Williams as the in-between the tackles runner. And it was a very bizarre season for them both, to be honest with you. And I think DeAndre Swift is going to play that pass catching role. but he doesn't really have a running back even in the same realm as a Jamal Williams on the roster. So what are we doing here? I don't know.
How do you feel about this as a Bears fan? I'll wait for you to make your pick first. But Jackson Dart, there we go. Four quarterbacks. I love it. He's a huge value there. I was thinking about Dart. I was going to go Dart if I didn't go Tua. I thought the stack made a lot of sense for me. But as a Bears fan, tell me how you think about this. I find it ridiculous, the notion that we're pumping up Roschon Johnson right now. Because of the Jamal Williams role. People are like, Roschon Johnson in the Jamal Williams role. Can we stop doing that forever?
Well, he needs to prove he's good first. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you look back at Jamal Williams, he had some seasons. I'll pull it up right now. Just looking back at Jamal Williams. Because Roschon Johnson to this point has done absolutely nothing, and I understand he's dealt with concussions before in his career. But yeah, the before, so in 2022, Jamal Williams finished the RB18. Before that, you know, Jamal Williams was primarily a backup, but you know, he had seasons where, you know, he had 150 carries the year before. Granted, he only averaged 3.9 yards, but three touchdowns. Let's see. Maybe I'm defeating my point before I make it. But I want to say Roschon has done nothing close to that yet. And I'm a Bears fan, so I should probably know this. Yeah, his 81 carries in 2023 for 4.4 yards a carry, two touchdowns. He's been hovering in the RB50 territory, whereas Jamal Williams was putting forth, you know, seasons where he was a legitimate backup running back, especially in 2019, where he scored six touchdowns on 100 carries. So he was much more experienced, much more polished as a player, a veteran that they could depend on. And Roschon Johnson hasn't earned that status yet. Could he? I suppose. Now, will DeAndre Swift have 250 carries in this offense? No, probably not. So we'll see what happens, but I think the more valuable touches are going to go to DeAndre Swift, and people are making the Roschon Johnson argument right now because that's the sexier argument to make, Matt. It just is. You know, if I put out a tweet saying, oh, I think DeAndre Swift's going to smash, you know, all the fantasy ghouls and goblins are going to come for me with their pickaxes and their hatred, right? Because everybody was burned last year, including me, by DeAndre Swift. So that's just the reality of the situation, as we have a run on tight ends here in round 10. Jonnu, Mark Andrew, Dalton Kincaid, Evan Ingram. Love the Evan Ingram pick. He was on my radar for sure.
Once again, I'm sitting here going, please take some of these tight ends that are above an ADP so I don't have to make such a bold call here with Jonnu Smith. But same age as Mark Andrews, younger than Evan Ingram, in a equally high-powered offense at their peak in terms of pass volume, higher than Baltimore. And Jonnu Smith last year was ninth in target share with 20%, fifth in target rate with 30%. We really saw him get unlocked in that role. I know there's some contract talks going on right now. I think they're going to get that figured out because I do think there's this sense of growing of Tyreek Hill just not being the guy he once was. And if, I mean, Mike McDaniel's seats has to be hot at this point, at least warm with everything that's gone on in his tenure in Miami. This needs to be a good year for this offense. They need to have a bounce back from last year. And very clearly, they need to keep Jonnu Smith going because he was such a big part there. And they need to get Jaylen Waddle going as well.
Yes. Yes. I love the Jonnu Smith pick. Especially, you know, you have the stack. I mean, the stack's not as important in Dynasty, but it's nice to have. I go Juwan Jennings simply because he's my bridge for Brandon Ayuk. And I do think he has some long-term value as well, especially if Ricky Pearsall struggles to stay healthy. You know, I think right away, Juwan Jennings is going to have some serious impact for my team. Now, I could have gone with some other options that perhaps have banked some more value. And you could make that argument, but I think Juwan Jennings, you know, especially if Brandon Ayuk continues to be a Brandon Ayuk, continues to do Brandon Ayuk things, you know. So it's more of that's probably an insurance policy for Brandon Ayuk. But again, it's a more exposure to San Francisco, and I didn't even realize I have the stack with Purdy. So that's
yeah. But
that's
hey, also an added what bonus. I mean, look, you say it's not as important, and I do agree, but correlation is an undeniable benefit. It's undeniable. You get investment into a team that's going to be one of the highest scoring offenses in the league, then you're going to be happy every week when the three, if you're starting three 49ers or three Dolphins or, you know, three Ravens, three Chiefs, whatever it might be, you're going to be happy more weeks than not, because those points, unless the entire team has a stinker, those points are going to be distributed somehow through your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can catch variants same as other people, and there you could argue there's a negative effect to having three people in your lineup and the team having a bad performance. But what we find in fantasy football is that floor doesn't really matter. It's all about the ceiling and what happens in that 80th to 100th percentile outcome for your lineup, because that's where championships are won. Regular season matchups are lost by a fluke. But championships are won because your team probably week by week had one of the best chances at being the highest scoring team in the league.
Yeah, no, you're, I think you make a good point there. Yeah. So the stack is nice. And also, you know, both Ayuk and Jennings are 27, so we have some years left. I know they're right at the age apex, but let's tread on the tire for Jennings. Man, we're gonna talk about this next pick if I'm able to make it.
Because you're gonna talk about how Jaden Reed is still available in the mid 11th round is what you're gonna talk about, I'm assuming.
Maybe. Maybe.
I've been thinking about it the entire time. He was on my radar in the 9-10 turn. Godwin, Trey Harris, and Jaden Reed were the three receivers I was considering. I went with pure ceiling in terms of short term. I know he's coming off an injury, but people in the medical community and fantasy football suggest, you know, he's going to be roughly 80% week one and ramping up throughout the rest of the season. So that's a number I'm comfortable with. There we go.
Yeah.
Absurd value.
And I don't know, like, to be fair, like the snap share does concern me, but
four rounds after Matthew Golden
in the 11th round. Yes. Yes. That's
after Tucker Kraft. Even in tight end premium?
Yeah. There was another player I was considering, but I think maybe I can push him down.
Well, you should have stood on business and took Kyle Pitts. That's what I'm thinking, Mr. In the top 10. Clearly, you don't believe that because you didn't even take him in this mock draft.
I took Hockenson. I've got Hockenson. I don't know. There are other tight ends I can take later that can be a backup tight end.
There's one that's going to come back to you that I think would be one of the best picks of this area of the draft. And that is, of course, Jake Ferguson. I don't know why I continue to make things vague. I really don't like the running backs here. Truthfully, I think it's a very weird tier for running backs. I'm very, very, very tempted to go with a receiver here. I'm taking just far too much time, so I'm going to go Bashaul Tutin.
That's a good pick.
I like it. Well, I might as well have taken that player because I would have been faced with the same decision in this next round. And I know for a fact this next player is going to come back to me. He's a little bit of a dip here in the rankings, but I think could be a huge value. There's a good amount of receivers that I really like in this tier of players, actually. There's also Anthony Richardson that's sitting out there. That's an interesting player to talk about. We talked about whether we were buying or selling Anthony Richardson. I'm kind of in the middle. I think this is a great price. This is the type of ADP
that I'm in for. I was considering it my pick. That's the other.
I'm considering him right here, honestly.
Yeah, I think that would be a great pick.
I feel like he has to. I mean, 4 days ago, they said that his shoulder should be fine. It makes sense. Like, I would have been surprised if they needed a cleanup surgery. They generally don't recommend it. Just because anytime they cut you open, it's just trauma that your body goes through. So I would have been really shocked if they would have recommended a maintenance surgery. I am worried to see what happens.
And of course you get sniped.
I'm almost more relieved, you know, like he needed a quarterback. I was kind of afraid that he hadn't gotten his quarterback too yet.
Man, but if it works out for him, Jaden Daniels and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, that's an incredible pair if that works out for you. So I'm going to take somebody who was just wildly efficient last year with all of his touches, should be a focal point of Kellen Moore's Saints offense. And Rashid Shaheed, it could be 106 targets all behind the line of scrimmage, or, you know, 106 of them might be behind the line of scrimmage. But he is a player who is very explosive. He's winning a lot of his routes. He's winning downfield. It was really a breakout party for who was acting as the lead receiver in New Orleans. So I think Pittman was a player who I was looking at as well. That one was tough. I probably should have went Pittman maybe. I just don't know what his back injury is like, whether he's expected to be at 100% this year. It's all a little difficult with Pittman.
Yeah. I hear you. I definitely hear you with Pittman.
Well, and as you make your pick, I can continue to talk about Pittman a little bit. It's almost like he's now that the team has some options, Pittman has been less effective because these other quarterbacks, Flacco, Daniel Jones, like they're not as willing to throw into those tight windows. Where Flacco was more willing to throw into the tight windows than Anthony Richardson has been. But I wonder if that's where some of this disconnect has been, where like these older quarterbacks who really only had Pittman to throw to, the Matt Ryans, the Phillip Rivers, like it was just chuck Pittman the ball because that's really all we got. And then Flacco had more options. We saw a lot of downs in there, but he wasn't afraid to whip it into Pittman either. But Anthony Richardson just doesn't seem to be willing to throw into those tight windows. And Daniel Jones isn't really that guy either. He will force feed his guys targets, but we know that he's not very good at doing that. So it just seems like it's going to be another year of the same issues for Michael Pittman. And you can only continue doing that for so long. And at least, you know, Shaheed has somebody in Shook who you took in the 12th round that I could be wrong on, as we may need to speed through these last couple of rounds here.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's a good call. Let's fix that. All right, so 30 seconds per pick starting now. So sorry, Sam. He gets 30 seconds.
He didn't need it.
Yeah,
Stephon Diggs.
So yeah, I took Tyler Shuck, and honestly, it's more of a value play than anything else, because I fully acknowledge I can be wrong about the player evaluation. Clearly the Saints believe in him enough to take him in the early second round. But it's a starting quarterback, potentially. I mean, I can't imagine that they're going to throw out Spencer Rattler or Jake Haener. I think both of those guys are still on their roster. It's going to be a battle between those three guys. And Shuck clearly has the most upside, and they're betting on him. And it could be a situation where he's just a bridge to next year. I think that that would be a real waste of a second round pick, you know? So I think they believe in him, and who knows? I don't think he's a good quarterback, but I could be wrong. And I have my choice here of just a lot of guys with some upside, but there's a tight end that there's some running backs I like. This is really tough, but there's a tight end I think that has a lot of upside, and that's Terrence Ferguson. So,
ooh, okay. I'm about to take another tight end then, I guess.
Yeah, I have a feeling I know who that's going to be.
Because there's another one that I've been talking about on the tight ends episode, but at the same time, like there's definitely at least one running back I want here. I'm still, you know, I only have three, which isn't, I can make up for that given the roster setting, so I'm not too worried about it. But man, oh man, oh, Rashad White, come on.
Yeah, Rashad White would have been a nice value too.
That was who I was gonna prioritize no matter what at that pick. I am gonna go with Jake Ferguson. I was trying to plan out whether I wanted to go with him there or a different running back, but scoring a lot of fantasy points out in years where Dallas has a good offense. A lot of fantasy points to be taken here in the 13th round, in my opinion. So I think that's some nice value on a premium position. And with having McBride and Janu and Jake, I am done at tight end for my build, probably for the at least most of the rest of the draft. I know a normal league would have a little bit longer than 16 rounds. And then I'll go Tajay Spears here.
That's a great pick too.
Satellite plus kind of guy. He does have a touch cap that we would expect out of him, but very electric and really started to kind of show some life towards the end of the season. I think he had a concussion last year. And then towards the last three games had 21, 18, and 10 fantasy points. So 15, 16, 17, that playoff run for him was sweet. And I think with an improved offense, him and Pollard both could be really effective there. Jalen Wright's a good pick there at the 14-4 as well.
Yeah, I feel I don't necessarily love doing this, but I mean, I'm going to take the handcuff to Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. I mean,
what if they give Braylon Allen a year and move on from Breece Hall and give Braylon Allen in New York a year to be the starter, and then you can kind of get the best of both worlds. So I don't necessarily hate it at all. And again, it's start two running backs. So like, you don't have to have a breadth of running back depth, especially in PPR.
Yeah, and the settings definitely influence my strategy here too. Like, I only have to start two wide receivers, two running backs, and then there's just a multitude of flex positions. So that gives you some flexibility. These jokes never get old. So like and subscribe.
This is the type of content you get after 14 rounds of a startup mock. Ramondre Stevenson at 13 in the 13th round. You know, that's obviously that was like two rounds ago. But
I like the Ray Davis.
I really like this crop of running backs and the value that they're getting. It feels like they have good roles to be taken in this range. Man, if we would have said that Jonathan Brooks before last season was a 15th round pick this season, that would have been very devastating news.
Yeah. And quite honestly, until we get some kind of update from him, if you're a rebuilding team, I don't mind trying to go out and get him just for the upside of it. But it's going to be tough for me to acquire, hold on to Jonathan Brooks because, oh, yeah. I mean, you just, and it's too bad because I thought he was a really good player. I suppose still could be, but it's just one of those situations that you wouldn't wish on anybody. Just terrible luck.
Yeah, exactly.
So I did, you know, just kind of looking at wide receivers here, I did leave myself in a bind at wide receiver. I probably need to be making some moves to and taking some shots. But I do think that there is a wide receiver on the board with some upside. There's a couple. So
who would those be?
Go ahead and take Christian Kirk here.
Dang. I had Christian Kirk in my queue.
Yeah, I kind of. So Christian Kirk, you know, he gives you some win now upside with the Texans. I mean, you can't really picture a better spot for him. Whining. And I know that they added the two wide receivers in the draft, which is smart, you know, adding the two Iowa State guys. But you would think Christian Kirk would be the starting slot wide receiver for them with Nico Collins on the outside. So take some pressure off of him. And yeah, him with CJ Stroud, I think it's going to be a match made in heaven. So if you're a win now team, I think that's one of those guys you can go get for relatively cheap. That can be a nice depth piece for you at wide receiver. Now I'm going to be counting on him to probably start some games for me. But Christian Kirk's, you know, he's 28 years old, but I think the way he plays and his kind of body type, I think he could play a little bit into his 30s at still a pretty decent level. But you went Bateman. That was the other wide receiver.
I would love for Bateman to just start getting the targets that he deserves. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
He's really good at football.
Yeah, no, I loved him in Minnesota. He was one of my favorite prospects that year.
Oh, I got really confused for a second. It's like he was never a Viking. Speaking of taking shots, how about taking a shot on a third round pick in a team that really needs some pass catchers after letting go of George Pickens? They're kind of back to where they started last year, just having one guy. I also thought about going Dylan Sampson there. Probably should have. But Roman Wilson could see a big jump, and especially working the slot and what we saw, the skills that he presented as a prospect. If he can really tune into that short area work, slot receiver, you know, in routes, like breaking open, getting yak, that could be a best friend of Aaron Rodgers, who admittedly did look better towards the last few games of last season. So if there is any sort of recovery bump from the Achilles and Roman Wilson is getting starting snaps in three wide receiver sets, could be in for a big year too.
Yeah, I like the Roman Wilson. There should be a decent target share there for him too, potentially. I know Aaron Rodgers and the offense shouldn't. I don't think it's going to light the world on fire, but at this stage, you can do a lot worse than those two options at pass catcher. And I went Jarquez Hunter, who it's an upside shot to take. I still think Kyren Williams is going to be the guy going forward. But Jarquez Hunter, if given the opportunity, I think he's really good. So you never know. So who do you want to look at first, you or I, Matt Babich? And then we'll do our team reviews, and then we'll
go end
this episode. All right. So I got Jalen Hurts at the 108, and I can't believe it. My first four picks here, I thought were incredible. But you let me know in the comments. I could be dead wrong. Jalen Hurts, Brian Thomas Jr., Justin Herbert, Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, Caleb Johnson, TJ Hawkinson. Brandon Ayuk, Jaxon Dart, Juwan Jennings, Jaden Reed, Tyler Shuck, Terrence Ferguson, Braylon Allen, Christian Kirk, Jarquez Hunter. So I think in a start 11 with these flex options, I think I can win right away, but I'm going to have to make some trades because I'm going to have to capitalize on somebody who needs a quarterback, maybe Stip 333 if Anthony Richardson doesn't pan out for him. He looks like a win now roster that could use a quarterback. I could pluck some of his talent away from him. Same story with some of these other teams that just went two quarterbacks. You know, if one of their quarterbacks gets injured, Sam 12698, JJ McCarthy and Matthew Stafford. What happens if Matthew Stafford gets hurt or, retires in the next year or so? So I feel good about this from a value perspective. I also feel like I could string some wins together too. So I don't mind it. I think I could sneak into the playoffs. What are your thoughts on this team of mine?
I like it. We talk a lot about not worrying about the fact that you already have four quarterbacks. If you think the fifth is a really good value, then take it. It does. I think there's a little bit of know your league in that too. Like if you're playing with some more casual people, it can be a lot harder to get that done. Because you want to get the correct value for somebody, but with casual players that might not be there. So I think there's just always a know your league component of, do you think I can actually hoard QBs and kind of get away with this? Because if no one is privy on making a good deal in year one, then you could be kind of stuck. Or you have to maybe even give up and sell for, a decent bit lower than market value to meet your demand. So I like where you went with it. Oh, I messed up the screen, Seth. I didn't mean to click that.
Oh,
how do I undo what I just did? My finger slipped when I got back on my mouse.
There we go.
This is why you don't give me controls to the.
Well, it's too late now. We already did that.
I like where you went there and just not worrying too much about getting your RB3 and just really focusing on the settings of the league and the value aspect of things.
All right, let's go to your team. Mr. Babich, you started with Josh Allen, then you went Trey McBride, Omarion Hampton, Rashi Rice, RJ Harvey, Bryce Young, Jalen Waddle, Tua, Tagovailoa, Chris Godwin, Jonnu Smith, Rashul Tootin, Rashid Shaheed, Jake Ferguson, Tajay Spears, Rashad Bateman, Roman Wilson. I think you did very well here. I think you got a lot of value, especially Josh Allen at the 103, I think was really good. And then you locked up your tight ends. You have three tight ends and you got quarterbacks that I think are going to be in the league for a while, and Rashi Rice, and I believe in Rashi Rice in round four, and I think the best ball redraft community is starting to believe in him too, because typically, and I know that this might seem like an unrelated point, but typically these best ball bros are pretty sharp in June. You know, this, maybe I'm wrong about that, but the casuals don't come till July or in August, mostly August. But the guys in June are some of the guys that do this frequently, and they're pushing up Rashi Rice right now. And if he has a good season this year, his value could skyrocket. RJ Harvey is in a great situation. I love the Jalen Waddle pick. Chris Godwin is a tip to winning now. And then you have some upside shots with Tootin and Shaheed and Tajay Spears, I think has the potential to take over that backfield or at least see some more opportunities in it. So I like it. What are your thoughts?
I like it a lot as well. Like I said, during the draft, I did prefer Kenneth Walker at that spot. I certainly, like in real life, if I slipped and make that decision, like I wouldn't be too bent out of shape about it. Obviously, it wasn't the pick based on my rankings, but I love RJ Harvey in Denver and what he can do. I do think it obviously kind of shifts your window a little bit, which is what I leaned into going on the younger side with Young and Tua and Waddle, and not, super young, but still people on the right side of their age apex with some distance there. And then also with Tootin and Shahid and Spears, and kind of keeping things in a little bit of a neutral mindset, knowing that with this squad, you know, I think with this team, I don't really have to make any trades early on. And I think I could be a playoff contender and give myself like 8 weeks, you know, to figure out really if I think it's worth a little bit of risk to move my window back into the short term. And I think if Harvey is in the short term what I want Kenneth Walker to be, or what I think Kenneth Walker will be in the short term, and by short term I mean this year, then I think I could even make a splash, even push a chip in.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it gives you, like you said, flexibility and options, and I always like that in Dynasty. So quick look for the video audience at the draft board one last time. As you're looking, is there any team that you think did exceptionally well?
I really like what Cody did. I do think a little light on the receiver side, and I'm not the biggest fan of Coleman, but I really like the structure and the bully tight end, youth tight end with Warren and Loveland. I thought that build was really nice and a cool variation and something new to try there. I liked similarly the bully QB on Ed's side, Patrick Mahomes, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, but then also like he has that zero RB build and I think maybe potentially went a little too far, but gets two guys in Warren and Stevenson that are going to be getting time, and consistently Ray Davis is going to have time. Like Lloyd may not have time, but he's in that RB2 kind of handcuff spot right now. So he's got enough to fill that void. And he's also got a lot of youth in his quarterback. So that's going to be something stable for a while. And Puka's going to be captaining his team for a while. So I was interested in his build as well. Anyone else that you want to call out?
I think Stilp 333, starting with Daniels, and then basically punting quarterback. I don't think this was the guy that should have taken Anthony Richardson. I think if you're going win now, you know, with Nico, AJ Brown, Bucky, Kyron, I mean, this feels like a win now build to me. You probably need a more stable option in your super flex. So I probably would have gone with a quarterback maybe over Pacheco or over Connor, even though I do really like Pacheco this year. Like he could have he could have added Sam Darnold to that room, and at least he would have had a starter for this year. And then potentially you could go Milroe later just to hedge. So I don't mind what he did. I just think I would have played the quarterbacks a little bit differently. So that's the only comment I would make, but I agree with your other two teams there. I like what they did quite a bit. That is going to do it for us. Let me get this into the cooler mode here so we can end the show. Oh no. There we go. That's better. Any final thoughts before we wrap up? I know we went a little long tonight.
I'm all thoughted out. I think value in Dynasty startups.
Value. We will see you later. Nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers. Have a great night, morning, afternoon, whatever part of your day in. Make it a great one. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Okay, now goodbye.